really intend with his message to all this diverse people that were in the crowd that was listening to him. Now, just as a reminder of what preceded Jesus telling this parable, so we get a good idea of the context, the hard-hearted religious leaders were nipping at his heels again. And at one point, they told him that the miracles and the healings that he were performing were done through the power of Satan. And no sooner had they accused him of this than they asked him to perform another miracle to prove that he has authority from God. They accuse him of doing the things he was doing, the miracles and his healings by Satan's power, and then the next minute they say, "Hey, prove to us that you have authority by doing some of those same things." Doesn't make sense. But the thing about these people who were trying to trap Jesus is they would do whatever they could. They would say anything to try and trip him up. And Jesus never fell for their games. He continually turned around their little traps, and they backfired on them continually. So just after this episode, Jesus' family comes up to him immediately after that, and they try to restrain Jesus because they actually thought he was out of his mind because of some of the things he was saying. Now, we know later on in Jesus' ministry, they actually came to believe that he really was the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and they came to believe that precisely because he was raised from the dead. At this point, though, they believe that he's nuts. And it was immediately following this that he tells this parable of the soils. And in this parable, Jesus describes four soil conditions that he uses as metaphors for the spiritual hearts of those who were in the crowd, those who were listening to Jesus, the people that Jesus was trying to reach with his good news. And just let me remind you again that the gospel is not just for those who know Jesus. The gospel is for everyone. The good news or the gospel of Jesus is for everyone. It's for me, it's for you, it's for those outside the walls of this church. It is for every single person. And every Sunday, the gospel or the good news of Jesus is preached from this pulpit. And I'm going to repeat what I said last week. As long as you believe that the totality of the gospel is simply that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead so that you could have a ticket to heaven, you will think that the gospel is just for other people who don't know Jesus yet. And the result will be that your heart will remain hard and you will not grow to maturity. It's very important. The gospel is for every single person, you and me included. Now, last week, we took a look at John chapter 15, where Jesus told another parable from agriculture, where he said that he is the vine and we are the branches, and his Father is the gardener who prunes the branches, prunes us, so that we can bear more fruit. And the way that we bear more fruit, he said, is if we hang out with Jesus more. We spend time with him in his word and let him change us. So we need the life from the vine. The branches need the life from the vine in order to grow. So we have to spend time with Jesus and give him permission to show us our blind spots so that he can change us so that we can bear more fruit. Now, what's the fruit that Jesus wants us to bear? It's the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, you can say it with me if you know him. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What God wants to do in us is to produce more of those things so that we become a people who can actually love each other in ways that we have never dreamed that we could possibly do. Now, before we read the parable once more, let me read to you a passage that Paul wrote to the church in Colossae, because in this passage, he tells us the motivation for what he does. Why does Paul do what he does? So Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25 and following. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. So not just part of the message, his entire message to you. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship to Christ. Now that word perfect here is not like the word perfect the way that we would normally define perfect. The Greek word is teleos, and it means complete or mature. And so Paul is saying that he teaches and he preaches and he shares the good news of Jesus for the sole purpose of bringing people from pre-spiritual birth to spiritual maturity in Christ, meaning that they would be filled with the fruit of the Spirit, with love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. He wants us to be so filled with those that they ooze out of us and on to others. When people get near us, they should be getting some of the fruit of the Spirit on them from us. And then Paul says in verse 29, he says, that is why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. That is his motivation. That is why he does what he does. He went through all of the pain that he went through, the many beatings that he took, the stonings. He was stoned several times and left for dead. The whippings, imprisonment several times. 3 times he was shipwrecked, and he did all of that. He continued moving forward, continued persevering, because his purpose was to lead people to become fully committed followers of Jesus. So they would become mature in Christ. That was his sole motive. That was the mission that Jesus gave to his apprentices before he left this earth and it ascended to heaven. That's why I do what I do. That is the motive of every single staff at CRBC. That's the motive of your CRBC board. That is the motive of everyone who works so hard volunteering their time and their energy and their resources for the ministries of CRBC. That's our mission. We have our mission right here, leading people to become committed followers of Jesus Christ. That's what we are about. That's the business that we're in. Every single thing that we do at CRBC is about that, or we don't do it. Now, I got to share this little story from youth group. Hannah Loeb is one of our youth, and I asked permission to share this story, but she's in grade 6, but God has given her the gift of encouragement of an adult. And she's encouraged me at least once by writing me a note of encouragement telling me that she appreciates my preaching. And for a 6-year-old, I'm just floored, like, wow, a 6-year-old? That's amazing. What's that? Sixth grader, what did I say? Six-year-old, thank you. Sixth grader. 11, 12, how old is she, Jen? Yellow. Oh, she's probably downstairs. But yeah, she's a sixth grader. So this note was a note that she wrote to Pastor Steve 2 Saturdays ago after Steve finished giving his sermon to the youth. And here's what the note says, and I think I've got it up there. That's the note. And she wrote it on one of these encouragement cards. If you see in the pew in front of you, we have encouragement cards here. It says encouragement card on it. And just let me clarify, if we meant complaint cards. We would have put complaint card on there. So these are actually, they're actually encouragement cards. So she says, I really like all of your talks at youth group. I didn't know that Jesus did all those things in just 7 days. I love the story when Jesus gets really mad at the people selling things in the temple. I think that you've been doing a great job telling us about Christ Jesus. I like it when Jesus makes a whip and yells at the people selling things. He said with great rage, "Get out of here! How dare you turn my father's house into a market? Good job speaking at youth group. Love in Christ, Hannah Loeb." Isn't that great? Like, yeah. She actually used an encouragement card for what they were intended. That's a novel idea. But we need to sort of practice that. Pastor Steve is doing what Paul said he did. Struggling hard. Depending on Christ's mighty power that works within him to lead the youth to become committed followers of Jesus Christ who are learning how to love each other better. That's the sole purpose, his sole motivation for what he does. And our goal is that when they become adults, they continue learning how to love and be filled with joy and be filled with peace and be filled with the fruit of the Spirit so that when they're older, they can model this. And that's our goal, right from children's ministry with Leora leading the way all the way to our seniors ministry. We want to make sure that we are continually growing in love, growing in the fruits of the Spirit, so that when people get to our ripe old age, that we can actually love each other. And then when people see us, what do they see? They see Jesus. That's the goal. And that's why Jesus told the parable of the soils, because some of us need to be shook up. Some of us need to be shook up so we get unstuck, so we start growing again. So here's the parable. And you know what? I'm going to call Craig up, because last time he did such an amazing job of reading this, he does a way better job than I do. And so he's going to read this parable.
Matthew 13, 1 to 23. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, and so he got in a boat, and he sat there, and he taught the people who stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen. A farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on the footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun. Since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. And still other seeds fell on the fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. His disciples came and asked him, "Why do you use parables when you talk to the people?" And he replied, "You are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But to those who are not listening, even what little they understand they have, even what little understanding they have, will be taken away from them. And that is why I use these parables. For they look, but they don't really see. And they hear, but they don't really listen or understand. And this fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. And when you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their eyes cannot see, and they have closed their eyes, and their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. I tell you the truth. Many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represent those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, and so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest 30, 60, or even 100 times as much has been planted.
Thank you, Craig. All right, thank you. So today we're going to be taking a look at just one of the soil conditions, the shallow, rocky soil. Last week we took a look at the hard, packed soil. And so let me just read a couple of these verses again, referring to this shallow, rocky soil. So verse 20 and 21, the seed of the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Now again, we normally apply this to people who don't know Jesus yet, or to telling people about Jesus. And the application that we normally use goes something like this. We tell someone about Jesus. We tell them that he's the answer to all their problems. You have financial problems? Jesus is the answer. You have relationship issues? Jesus is the answer. You have psoriasis? Jesus is the answer. And we simplistically tell them that Jesus is the answer for all their earthly problems, and then they excitedly and emotionally pray the magical sinner's prayer, and because they're sick of their financial problems. They're tired of all their relationship issues. And they don't want their itchy skin anymore. But they soon find out after a while that they still have their financial problems. And their relationships are still falling apart. And their skin is no less itchy than it was before. And so they walk away from the faith because the version of Christianity they were sold did not work. Does that sound familiar? Or maybe they were told that God loves them and has a wonderful plan for their lives, which translated really means God loves you and I have a wonderful plan for your life. And so they excitedly say the magic prayer, and after a while they find out that Christianity was not all it was cracked up to be. You see, they tried to follow Christianity instead of following Jesus. And I've got news for you. Christianity never saved anyone. Christianity never saved anyone. Jesus did not say, come and follow Christianity. He said, come and follow me. So the gospel, which is the good news, is the good news of Jesus Christ. He is who we receive. We do not receive a system of belief. We receive Jesus Christ, the Messiah, our Lord, our Savior, and our King. And here's the secret, as Paul said in Colossians 1:27, Christ lives in us. Christ lives in us. The secret is not that we live by principles and laws of the Bible and all of a sudden our life is grand. The secret is that Christ lives in us. The power of the gospel is that Jesus lives in us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us who have received him by faith. And he wants to change us as we cooperate with him, as we allow him to change our hearts. Now, the shallow soil in this part of the parable does include those who don't know Jesus yet, who have not received him yet, but it also includes you and me. And I think this heart condition that Jesus is talking about here is all too common for those who go by the name Christian. When we have a shallow view of the gospel, growth will not happen. If we think that the gospel or the good news is just for those people outside the walls of the church, growth will not happen. We will remain hard. We will not grow. We'll be judgmental. We'll put our noses in the air and we'll judge everybody else and think we've got it all put together. And I don't know about you, but I do not. Now, this unhealthy condition that Jesus was talking about here in this parable could be called the disillusioned heart. And it's a very normal stage in the faith journey of many of followers of Jesus. It's sort of the, I didn't sign up for this stage in our journey. The disciples of Jesus experienced that after Jesus was arrested. They all fled. They scattered because they didn't want to meet the same fate as Jesus. And their faith was too shallow. It hadn't yet taken root so that they could persevere through that hard stuff. Now, we're less than a month into the new year right now, 22 days as a matter of fact, and I just read a blog last week that said that the New Year's rush to join fitness clubs and gyms has already begun to wane. And the writer of the blog said that his fitness trainer told him that by September, only 5% of those who signed up in January would continue on. 5%! And the blog went on to say that the gyms actually build their business model on the fact that as much as 67% of paying customers will never use their membership. Never use it. 67% pay for this thing they will never use. And only 5% that started in January will continue on by September. You know, people have great intentions, but oftentimes we got to include myself there, we don't want to do the hard work it takes to become better. And many people sign up for gym memberships and they try it a few times and they realize that, oh, it's harder than it looks. You know, can't I just take a pill? Can't I just take a pill and it'll make it all better? It wasn't what they expected, and so they let their memberships lapse. You ever been disappointed by God? because things didn't turn out the way you expected them? When you said yes to following Jesus, if you did say yes to following Jesus, maybe you didn't know that life would take you to the place where you are right now. Or maybe you didn't say yes to Jesus, to following Jesus. Maybe you simply agreed to a system of belief called Christianity as theologically defined by a certain group of people or a Christian denomination. And you didn't sign up for following Jesus. You didn't sign up for what you thought it was, and you forgot to read the fine print. Here's the deal. Jesus did not call us to follow him into a cushy life. He called us to follow him, to become like him, so that the world would get to know Jesus. That is what Christian maturity is all about. And that is what the Apostle Paul said was his motivation for everything he did. And here's what he said to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 3:18. So all of us who have that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord, who is Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. This is what God is about. This is what discipleship is all about, that we would become more and more like Jesus so that others would see Jesus in us and be attracted to him. However, this does not happen automatically. We will not coast into maturity. When I was younger, if I was going through a difficult time, I would pray that God would give me more faith, because I wanted to get through this difficult time. And I don't know how I expected to get more faith. I just thought that God would do some sort of magical incantation and I would have the faith to get through the hard thing that I was going through. But what I found, actually, is that when I prayed for more faith, sometimes things actually got harder. And it made me scratch my head. Because I did not sign up for this. I didn't sign up for that. I asked for more faith. I didn't ask for things to get harder. And what I didn't realize at the time was that in order for my faith to grow, I would need to exercise my faith muscles by going through incrementally harder stuff. And I didn't realize that that is actually the only way to build my faith. It's the only way to build your faith. It's the only way. There is no other way to build your faith. Is there any other way to build your faith? The answer is no, in case you missed it. It's the only way. It's the only way to mature in any one of the fruits of the Spirit. If you want to grow in patience, it's not going to happen if everything goes your way, believe me. It's going to happen as things do not go your way, so that you have to practice being patient. If you want to grow in love, you are not going to grow in love by hanging around people who always get along with you, who always agree with you, who never push your buttons. The only way you will grow in love is when your love is tested. It's only going to happen if we persevere through whatever hard thing we're going through. Here's what James, this is Jesus' little brother. So in the beginning of Jesus' ministry, James thought Jesus was nuts. Here's what James, Jesus' little brother, who now believes that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world, Here's what he says. Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble of any kind comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. What? When trouble of any time comes your way, consider it an opportunity. What? Great joy? Why? Here's why. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. Let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Now that word perfect there is the same word from Colossians 1:28, the word teleos, which means mature. This is how we mature. It is the only way we mature. There is no other way to mature. Is there any other way to mature? No. The answer is no. There is no other way. This is it. And so, when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. You can hang on. You can persevere. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be mature, complete, and needing nothing. So when your faith is tested by some kind of difficulty, how many of you are feel like you're being tested right this very moment by my sermon? Well, I've got several people raising their hands. You're being tested, well, persevere. Don't leave now. Hang in till the end of the sermon. It's going to be okay. This is an opportunity for you to grow. It's okay. When your faith is tested by some kind of difficulty, there's lots of things you could do. You can let anxiety take over, and you can give up. In despair. Or you could get bitter and angry. Your heart will get harder. And then you aren't going to grow from it. As a matter of fact, you stagnate. You don't just stagnate, you go backwards. Or there's a third possibility. You could keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, and persevere through it and ask him how you can learn from the trial. What can I learn from this trial, from this hard thing I'm going through, and come out the other end more mature? Those are the only options, unless you can think of another one. This is the only way we mature. In order to grow, we have to be stretched. Just like if we're going to work our muscles, they have to be stretched. We need difficulty in our life so that we can exercise our faith muscles. We'll never grow if we're always comfortable. And so when you see trouble coming your way, James says, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Oh, yippee. Here comes another one. Yay. Now that is very easy to say and not so easy to do. It takes practice, which is why we enter into training with Jesus. That is what discipleship is all about. We build our faith muscles with Jesus so that each time we face a trial, our trust in Jesus grows. And then when the next trial comes our way, we can face it with more confidence in Jesus. When trouble of any kind comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Each time we persevere through some kind of difficulty and train with Jesus, our roots grow down deeper so that when the winds of adversity come, we won't get uprooted. Now God, through the prophet Jeremiah, several hundred years before Jesus, wrote this. Jeremiah 17, verse 7. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their great hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Now, I've heard that storms will actually help the roots of trees grow stronger. As the winds and the rains blow against the tree, the roots grow down deeper, clinging to the earth so they won't fall over. It's the same with us. As we go through the hard stuff of life and practice trusting in Jesus, our roots grow down deeper into Him, so that when the next storm comes along, it's going to feel like a refreshing breeze. Let's take a look at what the writer of Hebrews said, how Jesus faced the cross. Okay, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And he's talking about this life of faith and all the hard stuff of faith and keeping our faith. And then he said in chapter 12, verse 1, let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Now, Jesus did not enjoy the cross. He didn't in some twisted way say, oh, this is going to be fun. He didn't enjoy it. He agonized over it. He endured the cross by looking past it, looking through it with eyes of faith to what it would accomplish. And that is what brought him joy. And this is the same way Jesus, the champion, our King, and our Savior, perfects our faith. We endure the pain, whatever it is that we're going through, looking past it, looking through it with eyes of faith to what it will accomplish. And what did James say it will accomplish if we endure, if we persevere through it? Maturity. We'll become more mature. More love, more joy, more peace, more patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Does anyone else want to grow in those things? I do. I want to become more of those things all the time. And none of this is possible if you do not truly believe that Jesus accomplished freedom and life for us through what he endured on the cross. That's where it starts. And that's why we will need to spend time with Jesus in his word, in training with him, and in community, putting into practice the things that he teaches. We'll have to learn, we will learn through this if we persevere, that he is indeed trustworthy. We'll learn that whatever it is that we're going through right now, that we can handle with his help. Now, I want to close by reading that great prayer from Ephesians chapter 3 that I've read for you many times before. Now, in chapter 2 of Ephesians, Paul says that we've been made alive with Christ through his death on the cross. He defeated sin and death. He said that he saves us by his grace, that Christ saves us by his grace, even though we did nothing to deserve it. And he says that we have been given peace with God. And he said that God did all this by ending the system of the law with its commandments and regulations in Ephesians 2:15. We don't follow a system of belief. We don't make our lives better by following a system of belief. We don't pull ourselves up by the bootstraps by following a system of belief. And then he goes on to expound a whole bunch more amazing truths about what Jesus accomplished through his death and resurrection. And then he goes on to pray this prayer. And let the prayer wash over you. If you want to keep your eyes open, you can keep your eyes open. If you want to close your eyes, close your eyes. But he says, when I think of all this, and he's talking about all these things that he's just expounded on. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. And I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then, listen to this, Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And now, all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that great? Here's a couple of verses of what Paul prayed to the Colossian church as we close. And we also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in light.